Our scripture reading this morning is taken from Philippians, Paul's letter to the church at Philippi, Philippians chapter 3. We continue our study of this epistle or this letter in the Pew Bibles, page 1350. Philippians chapter 3, we'll begin reading at verse 12. Let's give our attention to the Holy Word of God. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And our text is these verses 15 through 17. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us be of the same mind. Brethren, join in following my example, and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. So far with our text, and we continue to read just into chapter 4 for context. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. Again, I urge you to keep your Bibles open to this portion of Scripture and direct our attention to the verses 15 through 17 as our text, our focus for this morning. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, last Lord's Day we looked together at the Apostle Paul's urging that he is one who does not consider himself to have attained, but nevertheless continues to press forward, to reach and to strive for the goal. And already in our consideration last time, we recognized that the Apostle Paul's teaching, using himself as an illustration in the verses 12 through 14, was such as had to engage us, had to involve us. But lest we should have missed that point, the Apostle Paul, in the words that we're focusing on together here this morning, makes it so that we cannot miss that point at all. Therefore, he says, verse 15, let us as many as are mature. You'll note that in the verses 12 through 14, he's always speaking in the first person, speaking of his own not having attained, his own not yet being perfect, his own reaching and striving and pressing on. Now, the Apostle Paul doesn't want to leave us with the impression that it's enough for us to be impressed as we sit in the bleachers as an audience cheering him on and saying, way to go, Paul, you're quite the runner, and it's nice to watch you. The teaching that he goes on to impress upon us is that we should join in with him. And the importance of seeing the Christian life as pressing toward the goal, as those being engaged in running the race and running for the prize, the upward call of God in Christ. That blessing is not something that is simply an individualistic task that we see a certain individual doing. Paul will make plain now that it is a community affair. It is something that we are engaged in together as God's people. So when we take up the example of the Apostle Paul and seek to follow him and run hard after him or alongside of him toward the goal, we also recognize that we need each other. And so what we have here in the passage this morning is the Apostle Paul sets himself forward for us as, the end of verse 17 in our translation, a pattern. Some translations say an example. Literally, the Greek word is tupos, which means something like a type. It's something that we are to model our lives around. Paul is the model. Paul is the mentor. And what I want us to focus on together this morning is the reality of mentorship in the Christian life. We are disciples, that is to say, we are learners, we are followers. And the way that we learn in the Christian life is by walking alongside of others who have gone before us, who have learned these things before we did. That happens as we grow up in Christian homes. That's the blessing that many of us can speak about. Having grown up in a Christian home, you know that your mom and your dad are your models, your mentors, those who come alongside of you and show you how to do things. They showed you how to brush your teeth. They showed you how to tie your shoes. They showed you how to eat your food and how to do the dishes. They also showed you how to fold your hands and pray. They showed you how to open the Bible and read it. They showed you how to speak kindly. They showed you how to forgive your brothers and sisters. Now, many times in our experience, as many of us having grown up in the Christian faith, when we think of mentorship or discipleship, we think of parents with children. And that's not inappropriate. That's very much in keeping with what we see here and what our task is as parents, to make disciples, to make followers who follow after us as we follow after Jesus, to make disciples of our children. But I would challenge us here this morning in terms of what the Apostle Paul tells us, that we should not limit our understanding of mentorship and discipleship to the family. And I understand that we know these things. I'll say in language that Paul will use in the words of our text, in terms of what we've already attained. Paul is mindful of the reality that there is much to be thankful for as he speaks to the Philippians and urges them forward. And I speak in the same way this morning to us, as we're mindful of the things that we've already attained and that are already doing. Let's walk according to that rule. Let's continue in that way. Let's hold fast to what we have attained and let's press forward. So the idea of mentorship then, this is my challenge and urging for us, is that we think beyond our families and think, who do I need to learn from and who am I teaching? Asking ourselves those questions. And so indeed, we speak of mentoring for maturity, the word I preached this morning, looking at these three things, being mindful of our task, mindful of one another, and in the third place, mindful of our model. Emphasis on mindful. You see that the Apostle Paul is speaking of being mindful. He says it a number of times in the words that we've read together. Verse 15, as many as are mature, therefore let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. We'll talk in a moment of what that mind is. And if any of you think otherwise, so it's what we do with our minds, what we're mindful of, what is our mindset, what is our emphasis, the emphasis of our thinking, what governs us, and we're going to see as we look at the Apostle Paul, it's Christ. It's always Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, Philippians 2, verse 5. But to be mindful of our task as well, I want to emphasize what I've talked about, having a pattern, having an example, having and being a model, recognizing that Paul clearly knew that that was his responsibility. Now, you may think to yourself, wow, that's quite a thing for the Apostle Paul to say. It may even sound a little bit arrogant. You have me as a pattern. I would be very, very hesitant, I'm just acknowledging, to stand before you and say, you have me as a pattern. But what we see from the Apostle Paul is that we should be speaking in that way. Our task is to be such types, such models, such examples, such patterns. And the way that we can do that is in the mercy of God in Christ Jesus, acknowledging our failings. We'll see that with regard to the Apostle Paul as well. So the mind that he is speaking of, what is the mind that he's talking about? Well, in the immediate context, you would say, Paul is saying, I want you to be minded like me of a desire to run for the prize and to see the Christian life as a life of striving to grow, a life of striving toward the glory of God, for the glory of God. Striving to lay hold of all that is yours in Christ Jesus because he has laid hold of you. That's the immediate context, but you have to put that into the perspective of the broader context in chapters 2 and 3 of Philippians. I've alluded already to 2 verse 5. Paul had said there, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The mind that was in Christ Jesus is a mind of other-oriented focus. Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And so we learn from Jesus the blessing of looking out not only for our own interests, but for the interests of others. And the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ came to expression in the way that he poured out his life. He emptied himself. He poured out his life all the way to the cursed death of the cross. And we're to have that sort of mindset, a Christ-centered, cross-focused mindset that counts others better than ourselves. And the mind that the Apostle Paul is speaking about then, as we would go into what we've seen a bit earlier, several weeks ago, from the beginning parts of chapter 3, is the ability to humbly acknowledge sin. Paul could be mindful, you see, here, of his own past and how he used to be an arrogant, boastful persecutor of the church. And now he counts that all as rubbish. He counts it all as garbage. And so the Apostle Paul, speaking of having this mind, means that there is a depth of humility in us that comes from a recognition of our own sin and our own deep need of forgiveness. But that mind that Paul is speaking of doesn't stay wallowing in sin. He speaks, you see, you remember, of the blessing of gaining Christ and knowing Christ and having a righteousness which is from God through Christ, not by our works, the blessing that we have by grace through faith. So this mind is a mind of what we were and how much we needed Christ and how sinful we were, but the mind now is what we have. Christ has laid hold of me. And the mind that he is speaking of is, because of this, we have a goal to carry on in the future in a way that is striving. I want to know him better. I want to grasp all the blessings that are mine. And I want to press on for God's glory. And with what we're seeing here, we also learn to say with the Apostle Paul, I want others to see this too. I want others to join with me in these blessings. That brings us to our second consideration this morning, mindful of one another. Mindful of one another. You see the jump that the Apostle Paul made, comparing verses 12 through 14, speaking in the first person, I, to the way he speaks repeatedly in the verses 15 through 17 in first person plural. Earlier it was first person singular, now first person plural. Us, us, us. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. The Apostle Paul recognizes he's not just one who's running around the racetrack frantically trying to make a good impression on others. He is a pastor. He is one who is lovingly concerned for the well-being of those alongside of him, and he wants them coming along with him, that we're in this race together. It's not a competition, each running for the prize for himself. We're in this together. So that's the way he addresses this blessing. He addresses it as a communal responsibility, as a partnership. Now he speaks to those who are mature. Now there's an interesting play on words here. We don't necessarily see it in our English Bibles. The word for mature in verse 15 is the same word that he had used in verse 12 for I've not already been perfected. I've not already reached the end. I've not already arrived. And now he's speaking to those who are mature. He's not contradicting himself when he had said already about himself, I haven't arrived. I'm not perfected. But now he speaks to the mature ones. In context, the mature ones will be the ones who, with the Apostle Paul, have this same mind, who understand, I'm not perfect, who understand, I haven't attained, who understand, I need Jesus, I have Jesus, I've been laid hold of by Jesus, and who desire, with the Apostle Paul, I want to serve Jesus and strive to grow in my understanding of the blessing that is mine in Jesus. That's what it is to be mature. But with a pastoral heart, you recognize the Apostle Paul is also wanting to encourage. This is what mentorship is, growing in maturity. Some of us are infants. Some of us haven't come to the starting line, perhaps, if you're not a Christian, in the Christian life. But coming to Christ, being brought from out of darkness into fellowship with God, then we begin the life of growing maturity, growing in grace and knowledge, growing in likeness to the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Apostle Paul shows us a number of things here in terms of the educational process. And the first is that we are in this together, that this is a community affair. Then he says a few other things. He says, as many as are mature, we have this mind, this Christ-centered mind, this Christ-like mind, this humble, Christ-dependent mind. And then he says, if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. There's something the Apostle Paul is showing us here. We need to understand what he's talking about in terms of if anything, in anything you think otherwise. He's not suggesting it's okay to think there are other ways of salvation than through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not saying it's okay to have a different mindset than the mindset I'm talking about and seeking to show you. as a general understanding that it's all about Christ, that I need Christ, that I'm living for Christ, running toward Christ. None of that is in question. But the Apostle Paul is also of the understanding there will be things as we develop in our Christian life and perhaps as we run into situations with people who are just coming along into the Christian life where there'll be different ideas. Amongst the church, there'll be different practices, different applications of the way we raise our children, the way we comb our hair, the way we wear our skirts, that sort of thing. If in anything, you have a different mind, that's what the Apostle Paul is talking about, if you think otherwise with regard to those things. God will reveal it to you. Now, Paul is not saying here, just to be a little bit flippant here, I know, you know, if some of you are thinking differently than me, eventually you'll come around and you'll get it, because God will make that plain to you. That's not what he's saying. But the Apostle Paul is showing us here in terms of growth in maturity and bringing each other along, steps toward the right, if you remember Tony Payne's language that we used. In bringing others along, there is a need for patience. There's a need for being comfortable with differences of approach, bearing with one another. It's a real temptation. It's a real temptation for us in the Christian life to think that people need to cross their T's and dot their I's the way that I do. And it's a temptation to become exasperated or frustrated when things are not happening in this situation or in that family in the way that I want to see it happen in my family. And our inclination is to say, well, you go your way and I'll go my way and we have nothing to do with each other. That's not the kind of mentorship the Apostle Paul is showing us here. The Apostle Paul is showing us a patience and he's also showing us a willingness to risk the understanding that I don't have to conform everybody to my patterns of behavior with every application in life. I can leave that in the hands of God. God will show it to you. God will work it out. God is in control. He had already expressed his confidence in ways that are familiar to us. Philippians 1 verse 6, he who has begun a good work in you, he'll be faithful to bring it to completion. Yes, he will. In Philippians 2 verse 12 and 13, where we were told to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, the reason we could be confident is because God is at work within you both to will and to do according to his good pleasure. God will work it out. And so the Apostle Paul is not suggesting when he says that it's a free-for-all. He's not saying everybody can think whatever they wish about whatever they like. Everybody can have different ideas about who Christ is and what he's done and this or that fundamental doctrine of the faith. That's why it is a blessing for us that we are a confessional church. We know where we stand. We know where we stand shoulder to shoulder. And in the confines of that area where we breathe freely, we are allowed to have differences of opinion in application and the way we carry out our lives in various ways. And that's a blessing. That's being mindful of one another. Neither is Paul suggesting that, you know, people can be stubborn with their own foolish ideas. That's not what he's talking about at all. He's talking about reminding them that you have at least this much. You have the mind that I'm talking about, the mind of Christ, being mindful of your deep need for Christ, being mindful of who Christ is and of your desire to be like Christ. And if you have that all together, you have a lot. That's why in verse 16 he says, "Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule." Or other translations simply following a different textual tradition simply say that we are to hold to what we have attained. And again, Paul is showing us something here. He's very positive and encouraging. They need to be encouraged and challenged to press forward, to join in the race with him, but he is also encouraging them. You have attained a lot. You have received the Lord Jesus Christ. He has laid hold of you. And you're already at work in terms of being a blessing to others in the way of mentorship. And I would say the same thing to us who are gathered here this morning. We need to be encouraged in what we have attained by the grace of God. We need to be reminded of the blessing that is ours, even as we're challenged to strive and to go forward and to grow. So the blessing of mentorship is also one that shows patience, takes risks, shows encouragement and a graciousness, giving thanks to God for the blessing we do see and experience. And as you think of those who mentor you or those that you mentor, we need to be challenged that we have that one another focus and a desire to be a patient blessing, giving thanks to God for what is enjoyed, what we have already attained. And then finally, the third point, mindful of our model. Paul, he states specifically at verse 17, brethren, or brothers and sisters, join in following my example. And note those who so walk. Again, we may think to ourselves, wow, that's something that Paul is saying. Look at me and follow me. And we'd be hesitant to do so. But if you understand what he is saying, mindful of his deep need for Jesus, mindful, speaking freely of his previous foolishness and failings, mindful of what he has in the Lord Jesus Christ, you understand that because of Jesus, it's not arrogant. It's humbly Christ-centered to be able to say, you should follow me. Now, when he says we should walk by the same rule, you know that that's a biblical way of speaking of all of life. Just think of a couple examples we meet up with early on in the Bible. I think of Enoch, who walked with God and was taken and was no more. Genesis 5, verse 24. Enoch walked with God. That means his whole walk of life was lived before the face of God. Noah is described in Genesis chapter 6 as one who walked with God. Abraham in Genesis 17, verse 1, he's actually commanded by God in the blessing of the covenant relationship they're now enjoying, walk before me and be blameless. This is the Christian life that Abraham spoke of, or that Abraham enjoyed. We can call him a Christian because he looked for the city with foundations and saw Jesus' day. You trust in God's promises in the Old Testament, I call you a Christian because your hope is actually in the Lord. 1 John 2, verse 6, that we are to walk as Jesus walked. Or Jesus to Peter, for instance, in John 21, verse 19, follow me. This is what Paul is talking about, and he makes that explicit in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. Follow me as I follow Christ. And that's the way that we should be able to be talking as well. So when we speak of being mindful of our model, Paul is saying we are to take note of those who walk in this way. Take note. Take aim. The word for note here in the Greek language is the word scope. Skopos. This is what you see. This is what you set your eyes upon. This is what you aim at. Now, of course, the model that we're aiming at and what the Apostle Paul is talking about is ultimately the model of Jesus. 1 John 2, verse 6, walk as Jesus walked. Follow me, Jesus says. Follow me in the way of obedience. Follow me in the way of self-giving service, laying down your life in the service of others. Follow me in the way of being a servant, not seeking to be served. Follow me in the way of obedience to the commandments of the Lord. Now, so Jesus is the ultimate model that Paul is following. And Paul is suggesting, but now I'm a pattern for you to follow. And he recognizes that. I say, rather than that being an arrogant thing to say, it's a deeply humbling thing to say and convicting. The story is told of a father who was watching his son follow him in his footsteps. Now, the boy was just learning to walk, I think, maybe 2 years old or so. And he was on a walk with his father, and of course his father had long legs and took big strides. But the little boy wanted with all of his might to walk in his father's footsteps, so he would have to jump from one footprint to the next because he wanted to follow in his father's footsteps. You recognize, dads, your sons want to follow in your footsteps. You are an example. You are their mentor. And that's humbling. And the encouragement we have is we have the mind of Christ, and to be mindful of that and to run to Christ even as we acknowledge our failings. Sometimes we need to say to our children, don't do that. You know what I just did there? Don't follow that. That was a bad example, and I'm sorry. Because we're not pointing to ourselves, we're pointing to Jesus. And that's the kind of model the Apostle Paul is speaking about. Take note. Take aim for such. So, when we speak of mindful of our model is ultimately Jesus. And we may say we follow the Apostle Paul, but Paul is saying here as well, and note those who so walk. So he's saying it's not just me. I'm not the one running around the track looking for applause. It's everyone who is of a mature mind, everyone who's growing in grace and knowledge and in likeness to Jesus. Take note of them. I wonder if it would be helpful for us to think through our own place in the Christian life and to remind ourselves of those who have been our examples and those who've been a blessing to us. And to take note of those that we look around and see today, and maybe it's in different aspects, in different areas, we can say, that was a wonderful example. I could learn from that. I wish I could be more like that. Take note. Take aim, is what Paul is saying here. And in addition to that, I want all of us to be mindful of our models, be mindful of the fact that we are models, and ask the question, what kinds of models are we? Are we good models? It's humbling. And the blessing of the Christian life when we acknowledge our failings is that there is forgiveness in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a good model to follow and to illustrate. Follow me as I humble myself again and confess my sins to Jesus and find the joy of forgiveness. You know that there are people who have taken note of you. There are people who have marked you out. There are people who have you in their scopes. And they're following you. Pray God that we would be good models of Christ-likeness. And also pray God that certainly in our families, but what I'm saying here this morning is much beyond that, that we would be prayerfully mindful of opportunities to be such mentors in the lives of others. Ask the question, Lord, who is following me? Lord, whom should I be encouraging as Paul did here, saying, join in with me. And join in following my example. You have me as a pattern as I point you to Jesus. Pray that there may be more opportunities. Self-consciously pray to God that you would work at developing more such opportunities to be such mentors. To be able to say with Paul, follow me as I follow Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we praise you for the perfect work of our Savior. Lord Jesus, you are indeed so much more than an example for us. We could never even begin to think about following your example were you not our Savior. We praise you, Jesus, that you have laid down your life for our sins. And we thank you that by your grace we can come to say, as Christians, you have laid hold of us, and we are yours. And now, Lord Jesus, we do want to be like you. We want to follow in the striving footsteps of the Apostle Paul. And we also want to be good patterns and examples for others. We pray, Father, that you would help us to appreciate the blessing of discipleship or the blessing of mentorship in our lives, the way it has been a blessing to us through others and the way now you call us to be a blessing to others. Help us in this and use us for your glory. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.